1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So I know what would Jesus do, and we talk about the mind of Christ, and our goal is to try to be more like Christ every day. But Paul, it says, is our pattern. And the reason Paul's so important as a pattern is Paul is a man. He was a man that was saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he was a pattern for us to realize that this is a battle, and to realize that, look at the battle Paul was talking. And Paul, you know, to the holiness crowd out there, you know, about, if you're really sinning, you're not saved. Well, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That was not past tense. That was present tense. And what he was talking about is that dead man he's dragging around with him, waiting for the rapture, amen, or waiting to get out of here. So Paul's our pattern, and he's an example of how you can lay this flesh down and live for Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Paul was a supernatural person. No, Paul struggled. Paul disobeyed God. Paul paid a price for it. But Paul also had a desire to please Christ, to please God. And, that which I do not, that which I would. All that stuff that Paul talks about the battle. But I want to look today for just a few minutes about some of the things Paul went through. And if you're looking for a place to read, something to meditate on, pray over, and read Acts 13 through the end. You read about Paul's ministry and read what he went through. We're going to talk about some of it today. We don't have time to talk about all of it, but read straight. Take in a day, don't take a week, but in a day, sit down and read that if you can. Acts 13, I would suggest it, all the way through the end, and look at Paul's life. I mean, we think of Paul, we're looking at the Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians, all that, but if you look at Paul's, not just his ministry, but his walk, you'll see it in Acts 13 through the end of the book of Acts. And think about Paul and think about what we hear coming from religion and see if it matches up with Paul. I mean, that's pieces of advice I give you on rightly dividing is if it doesn't match up with Paul, it plugs in somewhere else other than the church age. But when you're looking at Paul, you think about all this prosperity. You know, God wants you to have $1 million. God wants you to be this, that, and the other. And, you know, all this stuff that the world wants to pretend like God's blessing them with. I believe the devil blesses people with money more than God ever does. He just lays it on some of these people, keep them out of God's will. But Paul, as a Pharisee, he was in charge. When he was born again, he was in chains. So what would Joel Osteen do with that? But what would he do with that? Say Paul was out of God's will? Paul wasn't living right? Paul wasn't tithing right? Paul wasn't turning his IRS forms over to the church to make sure he was giving the right amount? Well, what excuse would he have for Paul? Because Paul went through it, and he's our pattern. Right? Jesus Christ told the rich young ruler, sell your things, give it to the poor, and follow me. And again, it wasn't because he had the money, it's because the money had him. Remember, he went away sad. He went to Jesus, I'm keeping all these things. And he says, yeah, but there's something keeping you. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to get caught up in religion. And if he can't get you caught up into the prosperity stuff, he'll get you caught up into the Arminianism or something like that, where you think you got to work to keep it or work to get it or whatever it is, or get you to doubt your eternal security. And then you're bound in this religious circle where you're battling with the flesh all the time. And then the devil says, well, you're done. You messed up. It's over. You lost it. I can't lose it. It's not mine to lose. It's his. He put me in it. I've been taken out of my sin according to Ephesians and placed in Christ. I've been born again. I'm not going to be unborn. Amen. And to their dear friends that say John 3 is not to individuals but to Israel, he says, except a man be born again. And like I said before, Nicodemus didn't go to him as a religious leader. He went to him with a heart for truth at night, wanting the truth, and Jesus Christ laid it on him. Must be born again. I understand the spiritual rebirth of Israel, all that junk. all that stuff that people try to plug in there and say that's all it means. But you must be born again. When you're born again, if you understand what born again is, there's your eternal security. You're in Christ. He's in you. He's at the right hand of the Father. Spiritually speaking, we are there right now. Amen? We can be in more places than one now at the same time, just like Christ. He is in, if you're saved, He's in you, and you, and you, and you, and me, and we're in Him. Remember the Noah's Ark? God shut him in. Hey, when I got saved, He shut me in. Amen? Now He's stuck with me. But Paul, as a Pharisee, he was in charge. And as a witness for Christ, he was in chains. In Acts chapter 21, we'll look at verse 27 here. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted the holy place." Isn't that interesting? They're worried about polluting the holy place, and they're going to invite the Antichrist to be their Messiah. How about that? "For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came into the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done." So you see in verse 31 and 32, there's an uproar. In verse 32 it says, immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So Paul was beaten. You say, what was he doing? He was doing something terrible. He was preaching the truth. He was bragging on Jesus Christ. I had probably a real weak example, but I'll give it to you anyway. I was talking to these three people, dad, mom, son. She had the tackle box thing going on, stuff sticking out all over. He seemed, you know, nothing jailhouse or anything. He had some tattoos. Boy had long hair. And I said, "Hey, let me give you something to read about Jesus Christ." He took it, and I said, if there's a husband and wife, I say, I don't just hand it to her usually. I just say, "Mind if I give her one too?" That way he don't stick it in his pocket and it's over with. I want them both to have one. So she gets one, and I said, "How about the boy? You don't mind if I give your boy one?" And she goes, okay. Didn't want any of it. Why? Because of the conviction comes with the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, the truth is, the Bible lays it out clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People take it personal because they refuse to admit who they really are. And I'm not so bad. I'm not that bad. And I can't be that bad. Surely I haven't murdered anybody like them, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done that. A list of things they haven't done, and the Lord's like, "Well, there's one thing you haven't done. You haven't put your faith in my Son." But Paul, for preaching the truth, was beaten. And in verse 33 it says, they commanded him to be bound with two chains. He was beaten, and he was bound. Look what he does back in chapter number 22. In the Hebrew tongue, according to the end of verse 20 or chapter 21, it says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Now, Paul's defense is getting ready to head right toward Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Jump down to verse 8. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. You know what he did? He was beaten. He was bound. But he was still bold. He still bragged on Jesus Christ. It doesn't take a lot in this time to get people to walk away from the truth. I'm not saying they're not saved, but you'll see people that are on fire for the Lord. I was like Brother Kevin said earlier down there talking to, downstairs. I got saved and I'm still not over it. You'll see people that get saved and if they're not saved, I don't know what to tell you. They get saved, they're going to church, they're witnessing, they're getting plugged in here. They're trying to do everything they can to brag on Jesus Christ, and 6 months, a year, 2 years later, they're out. I mean, they might still be in church and they're out. You can be in church and be out. Amen? So how's that possible? Well, are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you bragging on Jesus Christ? So you don't know what I went through. Well, I got some ideas of what people go through. Let me tell you something. Paul was beaten, he was bound, and he was bold. He just kept preaching about Jesus Christ. What is there? What is it? What's the purpose of this life? It's Jesus Christ. That's it. Say, well, we got to make sure Trump gets a third term. And that's going to change the Bible? He's lining things up for the Antichrist as we speak. Even so come Lord Jesus. Amen? Love him or hate him, he's dabbling around over in the Middle East just lining things up. You know, we're not looking for a sign, we're looking for our Savior, but the signs are everywhere. I mean, we are getting close. We're getting close. So I don't know if I can take any more. Well, think about Paul. He's our pattern. Beaten, bound, and bragging on Jesus Christ. You know, think about over the years. Now, we'll just park here for a second. You want to talk about the Catholic Church? I knew you did. And what they've done to Bible believers over the years, what they've done to people that refuse to reject the truth. And if you look at the book of Acts in chapter number 7, when Stephen was stoned to death, and right after that they're scattered abroad. Why are they scattered? They scattered out of fear, but God used that to send missionaries all over the place. They didn't hang out in one place and do nothing for the Lord. They were spread out to spread the gospel. So the devil says, I'm going to put the hammer down and stop this Stephen guy. And the Lord says, you do what you think you need to do, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do with what you did. It's going to glorify me. It's all for him. That Romans 8:28, that doesn't plug into these basketball players' jolly lives and all this stuff. That Romans 8:28 plugs into everything works together for the cause of Christ. Good. It's all good. It's all about God. You say, well, no, it's good for us because Joel Osteen said, oh, baloney. But here Paul, beaten, bound, and bragging on Jesus Christ. He just kept going. You notice he said, I pressed toward the mark of the prize of high calling in Christ Jesus. He pressed toward the mark. You know what press? That means it takes effort. It takes effort to head toward Jesus Christ. It takes effort to keep heading toward Jesus Christ. It takes effort to keep focused. So what's the effort? I mean, we're blessed way above what Paul was. We've got a complete Bible, rightly divided. Amen? Eternal security. And pray and read your Bible and keep bragging on Jesus Christ. See, we talk about this quite a bit. We do, because I believe in the last days of the church age, and it's going to get harder and harder for people to walk in truth and to live the truth. And without the Bible, you're not going to make it. Without a prayer life, without the Word of God, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you, read Acts 13 through 28 and then read Ephesians chapter 5. And think about that verse. If I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Think about the importance of God's word to God. And read Ephesians 5 and how he talks about the washing of the water by the word That's not just in there to tell you about Christ and the church. That's talking about a husband and a wife. And you can apply that to a physical husband and wife, and you can apply that to the church and Christ, because the Word will wash you and purify you to keep you on track. So I just think you make too much of the Bible. I think when I get to stand before the Lord, He's going to say you didn't take it seriously enough for all of us. Amen. I think He's going to look at every preacher that's alive today and say, you didn't take it seriously enough. I don't think we're able to take it as serious as God wants us to, really. Because we've got this flesh, and we've got the fiery darts of the wicked, and all this spiritual wickedness in high places, and all these this constant assault. I don't think two or three times in church a week's enough. He was beaten. He was bound. Turn to chapter 28. Acts 28. Don't skip to 28 if you're reading 13 through, though. Amen. In Acts 28, beginning verse 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. You know what? Paul was beaten. He was bound and he was bitten. I'm telling you, the devil is relentless. Remember the more subtle than any beast of the field? And I know we think about him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I believe in type you can look at this and say Paul was beaten, he was bound, and he was bitten. Because if you press toward the mark and you're trying to live for the Lord and you're doing what He's called you to do, I'm going to give you the truth here. The truth is, the serpent's not going to let up. But you know what? He tried and tried and tried to destroy Paul's ministry, and he couldn't. So you know what he found out here? He couldn't take his life. You know he can't take your life? You have everlasting life. He can't take that. His venom isn't as strong as the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what about Paul? Well, Paul suffered. Paul stayed focused. Paul was honest with himself about Paul. That'll get you in trouble if you're not honest with yourself about you. But if you're not reading your Bible, you won't be honest with yourself about you. It's kind of hard to believe how much you need the Lord until you start reading the Bible. Because this flesh says, you're doing all right. Then you open a book and you start reading. I mean, you might be in the Old Testament, you're reading about Israel, and boy, you're looking at the stuff they're doing and you're thinking, good night, how in the world? And the Lord says, that's you. So, well, how's that, Lord? Well, look at them here. They get this great victory, and now they're taking on the garbage of the enemy. So God has given you a great victory, and He wants you to come out from among them and be separate. He wants you to not be worldly or of the world. And like we talk about many times, if the world just loves you, something's wrong. Not that we should be intentionally abrasive. But if you start plugging in the pieces of the mind of Christ we studied about, the world is going to dislike you more and more and more and more and more. It amazes me how I don't understand why people don't understand what we understand. Because, and you know, I know, we look at us and we think, oh Lord, how could you love us so much to die for us and give us eternal life? And we are so unworthy. And then you tell somebody you're a Baptist and they go, oh, once saved, always saved. Like you've got some plague. Then they're like the Amish fella told me here a couple years ago, don't be so sure of yourself. I said, I'm not sure of me, I'm sure of him. He's the one counting on himself, not me. I'm counting on Jesus Christ. I'm counting on the fact that he died for me, shed his blood, rose again from the grave, and promised me everlasting life and gave it to me. You take them to verses that everybody's just got all these false religions have a little bit of Jehovah's Witness in them. Just a little bit. These things are written, you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. And you tell them that, they go, yeah, but we're not sure what that means. I'll tell you what it means. You're saved and you know it. Because you know what happens then? Then you can start talking about the Sabbath. Amen? Not Saturday, about our rest. We rest in Christ. The Sabbath was for the Jews. He's our Sabbath. He's our rest. The problem is people don't want to rest. They want to continue to count on themselves. Say, boy, I'm going to get to the Lord. He's going to be so proud of me. No, he looked down and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when you get saved, he looks at you and said, now this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, because you have the imputed righteousness of his only begotten Son. Said, well, I don't know, you people are pretty sure of yourselves. I was sure of myself. I was sure I was going to hell and I deserved it. And there was no way out except for Christ, and I called on Christ. But I'm not proud enough to say I'm keeping it, or I earned it, or I could earn it. Amen? Paul didn't run around saying, look at me, I was the best religious leader there ever was. I was the cream of the crop, and Jesus got saved, and he's going to use me more than anybody because I'm special. You know, Paul kept saying, I was nothing. I was dirt. I counted all but dung that I may win Christ. He's special. You ever notice the people that want to slap you around for being eternally secure, don't talk about Jesus Christ at all or very little? Well, we believe in God. We hope we get there. We kind of joke. I know it's probably terrible. Lord, he's going to fix me one of these days. But my wife and I joked because an Amish neighbor said, well, we went to LED bulbs. I hope we didn't make a mistake. I'm like, you probably burn in hell over an LED bulb, right? No, you burn in hell for rejecting Jesus Christ, but they're worried about metal wheels on their wagons and light bulbs and generators and gas. They're worried about stuff that has nothing to do with anything eternal. And they can't rightly divide anything. Oh, we believe the King James Bible is a good English version. Well, you ought to read it. Amen? I mean, seriously, read it. Pray about it and read it. And find out you're not Israel. Because even if they don't know they believe it, a lot of people believe it. I mean, the Amish think they're walking with the Lord so close that they're going to have to go through the tribulation. Well, unfortunately, if they're not saved, they're going through the tribulation. They're going to go into it. But I was... I was really disillusioned when I was younger, because over in Missouri, they got Jamestown, Missouri. Boy, it's the whole Amish thing. You go over there and you get the $6 jar of jelly, you know, and all that stuff. And all the Amish stuff. And we ain't proud, but here's a $6,000 kitchen table, you know. That kind of stuff. And now my mom's like, what's it like living around the Amish? I'm like, well, it's kind of like living in a corral where the horses run right at the end of your driveway. That's kind of what it's like, amen? They train them. Go over there to the Baptist driveway, you know. See how saved he really is, amen? If I could lose it, I can't, by the way, but if I could lose it, I can't even be honest with you about what I thought a couple times about that. I shouldn't even think it. See, everybody wants to attack you personally so your flesh will say, I can't take any more of this. Maybe they're right. Maybe I am proud. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I did lose it. Maybe I could lose it. If anybody could lose it, it'd be a Baptist pastor. I'll tell you that. Amen? But not you guys are great. The Lord's blessed me with some good folks that love the Lord. I shouldn't complain, but I'm going to complain for just a little bit. Amen? No. But he'll beat you up. Talking about the devil. What was going on with Paul? These men were doing it. The devil was using men to beat him up, using other men to bind him up. And he said, well, I can't get him off course. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll kill him. You know what? There was something different in Paul running through his veins that serpent didn't have any power over. It's eternal life. So what can he take from you? He can take all kinds of stuff, but he can't take your eternal life. Amen? After the binding and the beating and the biting, he was even bolder. Talking about that, if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, get an old copy. I think they've redone it and changed some of the stuff in it. But if you get an old copy of the Fox's Book of Martyrs and look what happened to those folks, you know what happened to them? They didn't quit. They got bolder. They were more bold. You know why? Because they seen something real. They seen people with fire coming out of their fingertips praising the Lord till they fell down dead, physically dead. They weren't dead. They were saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. They watched horrible, horrible things people went through, and they bragged on Jesus Christ to the end. I can't remember the two guys' names now, but Latimer and somebody else, and he said, Latimer. He said, let's play the man. It's time to play the man. They were killing him. We'll light a fire. They won't be able to put it out. That's paraphrased what they said. But what happened was shortly after that, just around the corner from that death, here comes this book. You know what it come through? It come through the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of saints. Right here. Where was the Bible before the King James Bible? It was wherever God wanted to put it, however he wanted to put it, and this is what he gave us now. But he had a group of people that weren't like people are today. I mean, the best of us. As far as believing the Bible and teaching the Bible and preaching the Bible and praying, the best you could do, I don't think we have any idea or even approach what those folks had back in the 1500s, 1600s. So why now? Because now we got indoor plumbing. We got a gas nozzle. If you can afford to use it, put it in your car and drive down the road. You've got a grocery store that you can go buy beef so you don't have to hurt animals. Right. Isn't it funny how liberals think? How could you kill a deer when you could just go down to Green Hills and get you a pack of beef? Yeah, it just magically appeared in their freezer, amen? And I am a member of the old PETA, People Eating Tasty Animals. We love animals. Not like the grand dog thing or any of that stuff, but we like to eat beef, amen? As bad as they are for you, a hot dog's pretty good once in a while, amen? Paul was going through all this stuff, and he was honest about himself. He was honest about the Lord. He was honest about his purpose. He was focused on the purpose. And no matter what they did, they stoned to death at Lystra, seen into the third heaven. That was probably a positive instead of a negative, because he's like, I've already seen where I'm going, amen. If you believe the Bible, it's a little easier to live here. I'm not just talking about being saved and think you've got maybe a right, but I'm talking about if you believe the Bible, it's a little easier to live here because you can see into the third heaven here. Paul didn't have this. You do. Amen? Matter of fact, we can see over at the end of the book of Revelation, new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem. Man. So, well, this place is a dumpster. Compared to what God expected, wanted it to be, and intended for it to be, this place is. But we, again, he left us here to dumpster dive for Jesus, amen. Paul was beaten, he was bound, he was bitten, he didn't quit, he got more bold, he bragged on Jesus Christ. You look over in the end of Acts chapter 28, you know what he's doing? He's laying it out against Israel again, and he says, you know what, you turn your back on him, he's turning his back on you. He's done with you for now. Because blindness in part is coming to Israel. In part, temporarily, because he's using the Gentiles, why? To provoke them to jealousy. We did not replace Israel. I know you hear that a lot here, but I want you to keep hearing it because it's everywhere now. Oh, he's done with the Jews. Everybody hates the Jews. It's all the Jews. The Jews, yeah, they've got a little spot of land over there that's like New Hope, Ohio, and everybody around them is bombing them. That's their fault. Right. The reason that everybody hates Israel is they hate Jesus Christ. They didn't like Israel in the Old Testament because of the blessings God dumped out on them, and they knew if they crossed Israel and they crossed God, God was going to use Israel to chasten them. And then when Israel got out of his will, he used the enemy to chasten them. But now they hate Jesus Christ so much they want to kill all the Jews and then the saved people. And I'll tell you, the funny thing about the LGBTQRS, LNOP crowd and all that stuff that brags on Palestine, first of all, they toss them off a building as soon as they got over there. And second of all, they want to pretend like Iran's not a threat to anybody, and it's just Israel, and we don't like Israel anyway, they say. Well, if now Israel's not going anywhere, God's going to take care of Israel. But if Israel was wiped completely off the map, you'd be next. Because it's not Israel they hate, it's Jesus Christ. And you know what? Honestly, if you're standing next to a Jew and there's the enemy's there, the enemy hates you more than they do the Jew because Christ indwells you. The enemy hates you more than the Jew because you know where you're going. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy hates that. He hated it so much that he kept beating Paul and binding Paul. Then he bit Paul. And Paul's like, I'm in a strait betwixt. I got to get out of here. I'm ready to go. I know it's profitable for you guys that I stay, but I'm ready to get out of here. Amen? You ever feel that way? I'm ready to get out of here, but it's profitable for others that I stay. Do you know that it's profitable for others that you stay until the Lord's ready? So what's that mean? I mean you got a purpose here. To pray for each other. To meet with each other and study with each other. To open this book with each other. To brag on Jesus Christ together. To have somebody call and say, hey, I'm going through it right now. Amen. So I'm just ready to get out of here. Oh boy, so am I. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I leave yesterday. Amen. But look what we've got here. We've got a purpose. Bragging on Jesus Christ, trying to encourage each other to keep on keeping on, looking at the Bible and reading the Bible and understanding who Paul really was. Paul was a sinner saved by grace. Paul never forgot that. Paul never wanted a pope hat, amen? You know what Paul wanted? Crowns. See, Paul, yeah, he wanted crowns. He wanted to be king. No kings. No, he wanted to lay down at the feet of King of Kings. Amen? See, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ and you're going there, it's going to be more real than it ever was here probably because you don't take it seriously sometimes. We don't take it seriously sometimes. When we get there, when this is over, this is not Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. This is it. And when you leave this world, you're at the judgment seat of Christ. Later on down the road, when the fires are burning up everybody's works, like old Jim White used to say, I'm just rolling my... What does he say? Throwing my big ball of wax up for the great meltdown, or taking my wheelbarrow up, waiting for that thimble full of blessing. I can't remember exactly what it was, but when that fire purifies whatever's left on the end of that, that's eternal. This is temporal. It is hard to remember that. But he's worthy. Paul said, I press for the mark. He pressed. He said, this isn't easy, but I'm just going to keep leaning into it. And he did. He leaned into it until God called him home. So what about all these TV preachers? Well, most of them are lying. Most of them would tell you Paul's out of God's will. And most of them would tell you that you're out of God's will if you're not, you know, upper 1% in finances or whatever. But the truth is, you might be being beaten, bound, and bitten and still be right dead center of God's will. That's most likely. The devil's not interested in the people that are already going the same direction that he is. He's interested in the folks that are going Christ's direction. Ephesians chapter 5 explains how to wash up, how to get clean, that purifying process by reading and studying the Word, meditating on the Word of God, prayerfully looking into this book and said, Lord, I'm going to look in this book. I want your book to look inside of me, and I want to match me with what you want me to be instead of what this flesh wants. Then you get to Ephesians chapter 6 and you find out that this is a spiritual battle, and you're not going to win a spiritual battle by carnal means. And the thing that's going to help you win the battle is this book. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, it keeps pointing back to this book over and over and over and over. Faith. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The shield. Everything it talks about. And then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, oh Lord, increase our faith. You know they didn't have a Bible when they said that? We got people all over the world. Oh Lord, increase our faith. Read your Bible. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They were responsible for what they had. Now you're responsible for what you have. You've been given 66 books of the greatest book of all times. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So where do I get my faith? You get it from the Bible. You get it from the book. You get it from reading it and say, man, Paul went through it. Well, look at that. Oh, man, shipwrecked. Oh, good night, bit by... Oh, man. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He made it. So what would Jesus do? What did Paul do? Paul's your pattern. Jesus, you can look at Jesus and say, that he was perfect. How could I ever be perfect? You can look at Paul and say, I can't be perfect, but I keep pressing toward the mark. You will be perfect one of these days. In a moment and twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Amen? I still believe that the dead in Christ will rise. They're going to run around the world a little bit just to stir things up, and then we'll be out of here. We're not raptured in a moment and twinkling of an eye. We're changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. That resurrection, that rapture, man, I think that's going to be a two-part deal. I think the dead in Christ are going to rise just like they did when Christ come up. And I think there's going to be a last witness before he calls his church out. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe this. You may not witness for him now, but when you leave, you're going to witness. There are people going to witness you leave. Amen. So if you've never done anything for Christ, I'd say get busy. But do believe this, you will be witnessed. Amen. Well, I think it was from the planet Glomer Glubier. They zonked them all out of here. No. People are going to remember what you told them. Amen. People aren't going to buy the lies from ABC and CBS and CNN and all that stuff if you've told them. Amen. Are you telling them? So what's going to happen? Well, here real soon, those that sleep in Christ are going to rise. They're going to come up out of that grave. Those that are saved, we're going to see him in the air. Hopefully today. Wouldn't that be great? We'll meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it's game on. And I personally believe that first 3.5 years, that 7, people are just going to be drawn into this ecumenical mess. And then it's going to be game on. I mean, all hell's going to break loose. And people are going to have to make decisions that you and I don't have to make. We've already made the decision we need to make by trusting Christ. But when they say, well, all them people left, and they come up with excuses, the devil's going to come up with excuses because he doesn't want to see people get saved, you know, when people believe in Christ or any of that. But I believe, because God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another verse Calvin's sure about now. All should come to repentance. That's why I believe that rapture is going to be in two parts. I believe there's going to be that witness of the walking dead. I believe that's what they're talking about, these zombies and all this stuff. They're going to see people come back out of the grave that they were at their funeral. Amen. And they're going to go, oh, man, I am going to hell. I do need to do something about this. They're going to remember what you told them. And then I'll have somebody with 4 pounds of makeup come on the news and say, well, President Trump and Vice President Vance said aliens were real. Now we know. Because all the Bible-believing churches are empty. Paul was beaten. He was bold. He was bound. He was bold. He was bitten. He became even bolder. And he kept going for Christ until the end. I encourage you to read Acts 13 through the end, Acts 28, and look at what Paul went through. He didn't have a $300,000 house, a $30,000 car, a 401k, a grocery store at every corner, gasoline at his fingertips, a nice place to sleep when he visited. Paul just went through it over and over and over and over and over again. But you know what it was? He made his mind up when he started going through it that he wasn't going to quit. And he figured out how to keep on keeping on. I just told you how to keep on keeping on, amen? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Lord's coming back. He's coming back soon. If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I know we're all church folks. Church folks don't make you saved. Jesus makes you saved. I've preached that enough Baptist churches know that most Baptist churches have at least a few lost people in them. I think you're all saved. But I want to make sure that I don't stand before the Lord and say there's somebody in there that just didn't quite get it. Because it's not about religion. It's not about water baptism. It's not about confirmation. It's not about a denomination. It's about whether or not you've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Bible says we're all sinners, and if you as a sinner go to Christ and ask Him to forgive you and save you, He will in no wise cast you out. He will save your soul. You'll be born again. A spiritual operation of God where He separates your soul and your flesh, and you are born again. That which is born of God does not commit sin, amen, because my soul has been purified. My flesh is going back to the dirt one way or the other. But I'm going to be changed the moment of twinkling of an eye. My soul is saved. See, if you don't believe in a Trinity, you've got a mess because you can't even get yourself right. You're a body, soul, and spirit. Your body ain't saved. Matter of fact, it's so unsaved, He's going to have to give you a new one. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you've been faithful to church, and you've been faithful to put money in the plate, you've been faithful to, you know, read your Bible and pray or whatever, and you're just thinking, boy, Lord, I've tried. You missed the mark. Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came and died for the ungodly. Not to give an ungodly person a chance to maybe work better, but He died for the ungodly. All of our righteousness are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. It's His righteousness. And that's what the world's doing. That's what Israel's still doing. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, rejecting the righteousness of God. And if you're trying to establish your own righteousness, it's all unrighteous, you'll burn in hell. But if you're here today and you're saved, Paul's the pattern. He was headed for the judgment seat of Christ, and he wanted to be pleasing to the Lord. And he kept on keeping on. And we can too, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through His Word. You know it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. This book is Spirit. So if you got an NIV, that's Spirit too. You need to throw that thing away. This is a right one. Wrong Christ, wrong Spirit, wrong Bible leads to wrong Christ, wrong Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm not saying you can't be saved and read the wrong Bible. I'm saying if you read the wrong Bible, you're not going to have the right Spirit. So I want to be like Jesus. Well, then be more like Paul. Amen. Amen. Father, we love You and thank You for Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the opportunity to read Your Word and share Your Word, study Your Word, open Your Word, Lord. Oh, did not our hearts burn within us when You opened us the Scripture, Lord. We love it when You talk to us through the book. And Lord, help us to line up with it. Help us to understand what Paul went through, how Paul kept on keeping on. Because he said, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And he died to himself so he could live for you. He took up his cross daily, put himself on that cross and said, this flesh is dead that you might live through me. Help us, Lord. Come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Bless the folks here. Bless those that couldn't make it. Bless Creed and Alyssa and the families they travel. Bless Creed's family down there as they're going through this valley. They'd focus on the lily of the valley, Lord. And Lord, bless Brother Kevin and his wife as they travel. And thank you for the visit from them today, Lord, allowing that, working that out. And Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it. Every time we open it, that it would do what we need and we'd accept it to be more like Jesus Christ. We ask these things in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.